since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Shannon Kirkwood. A New South Wales Labor MP has had his membership suspended after Australian Federal Police raided his home as part of an investigation into Chinese influence in Australian politics. Officers have spent hours sifting through Shekat Mosselmein's home, and it's believed his office has also been searched. ASIO and the AFP say search warrants were executed as part of an ongoing investigation, but the raid does not relate to any specific threat to the community. New South Wales Labor leader Jodie McKay says the party had to take swift action.
He will no longer sit in the caucus. He will no longer be a Labor Party member. His membership is being suspended as we speak. That process is now underway.
Health authorities in Victoria have expressed disappointment that not all people in COVID-19 hotspots are agreeing to be tested. Healthcare workers in Melbourne are carrying out thousands of COVID-19 tests as part of a blitz in response to a fresh community outbreak of the illness. 30 new cases have been reported in the state in the past 24 hours, among them a youth mental health worker. The state's Deputy Chief Health Officer, Dr. Annelies van Diemen, is urging all those in the identified hotspots to be tested.
It is important to get tested. It is important for us to find every case in those areas. We understand why people might have reservations, but also we're trying to make it as absolutely easy for everybody possible to get tested.
Meanwhile, New South Wales has 6 new cases, 5 in hotel quarantine and 1 in a high school student in Sydney's southwest, while Queensland has also 1 new case in hotel quarantine. Globally, the number of COVID-19 infections has exceeded 9.5 million, while more than 488,000 people have died from the illness. The World Health Organization says there's been accelerated transmission in close to a dozen European nations as restrictions are eased, while the WHO has warned the pandemic is worsening globally, with infections expected to reach 10 million next week. In Mexico, the finance minister has tested positive for the virus as cases there rise above 200,000. And in the United States, the governor of Texas has temporarily halted the state's reopening as infections and hospitalizations surge, with the US setting a new record for a one-day increase in cases. As revenues drop and government spending rises in response to the pandemic, Australia's deficit has blown out to almost $65 billion. The monthly financial statement for last month has been released today and shows the underlying cash balance for this financial year to date was $60.8 billion. The data also showed government spending is almost $33 billion more than planned. Final preparations are being made to have Australian man Jock Palfreyman return home from Bulgaria. Mr. Palfreyman was released from a Bulgarian jail in October last year after serving almost 12 years behind bars for murder. The 33-year-old says he is now restricted from leaving the country over issues relating to an expired travel ban. But Foreign Minister Maurice Payne says the government is at the end of processes to have him return to Australia as soon as possible. Turning to sport now, and Australia and New Zealand have beaten out Colombia to co-host the 2023 Women's Football World Cup. The event will take place across 12 cities in Australia and New Zealand, with the final to be played in Sydney. Matilda's captain, Sam Kerr, has expressed excitement over the winning bid. An image of Kerr was projected onto the Sydney Opera House in the lead-up to the announcement early this morning.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
We've hit our top of 18 degrees today. Mostly sunny, slight chance of shower along the coastal fringe in the late afternoon or evening. Light winds are becoming southerly up to 20 kilometres an hour in the evening. The sun will set tonight at 4 minutes to 5 and back up again at 7 minutes past 7 for your Saturday morning. And looking for the weekend for the weather, mostly sunny on Saturday, 8 to 17. Sunday, mostly sunny, 7 to 17. And back to work week Monday, again, mostly sunny, 6 to 17. The moon is a waxing crescent with first quarter this Sunday, the 28th of June.
The updated traffic brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Pennant Hills Road near Loftus Road. A crash of 2 cars. It's just happened. One of 3 northbound lanes closed. Lane 1. please take care as you pass through Pennant Hills this afternoon. It's 5 minutes past one. You're on Business Insights with Mario. Take it away, Mario.
Well, Darren, first of all, I'd like to say thank you, Kate Pierce from Personified in Brisbane, for being with us in the studio online, of course, because, you know, we like to bring the studio in Brisbane. However, the borders are shut down. We can't come there to enjoy the sunny, breezy. However, our next guest, it's a coach. This person, like, just try to give it just a life example. We all in life have the ups and downs, but imagine if you're in your life, you hit some obstacles or find yourself an intersection when it's raining, you have no umbrella, and you have that tick of anxiety. I'm pretty sure many of us have, or have some traumatic experience. How do you not deal with this? There's nobody there to help you. So we are lucky and we're privileged to bring you today in the studio the guest. Her name is Lisa Westgate. Lisa, hello today in Live 90.5.
Thank you for having me. Lovely to virtually be in the studio.
Well, we don't need to practice any more COVID safe because we are allowed now by legislation. We have the people in the studio. However, you're in Melbourne, if I understand correctly, right?
That's it. I'm actually in one of the hotspot suburbs in Melbourne, so we're not even supposed to leave our local government area.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So, tell us quickly, what's the life look like in Melbourne in hotspots now?
Look, I think it's very individual. I normally work from home, so aside from having my son home for 3 months instead of being at school, that was definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
But other than that, it hasn't really impacted my day-to-day life. I do run a training business, so I'm normally multiple times a year in a room with people training from the front of the room. So you can appreciate it's not a great time to have a in-person training business. Mm-hmm. We can't be in the room together. So it's given me an opportunity to practice adapting and being flexible.
Your resume, it's a different than anybody else Darren and I interviewed today in our show, not just today, any day. But, you know, I'm just going to read a few lines of who you are. After over a decade as a paramedic, Lisa experienced PTSD, anxiety and depression. This created challenges at home and prematurely ended her career. Lisa's recovery and subsequent post-traumatic growth has profoundly changed her life for the better. Now, I said as an ex-military, as a man who been in combat for almost 10 years, I know that PTSD never brings nothing positive, anxiety and all this. Can you tell us, Lisa, why, before we ask you who you are, why was this elements of the life, which is negative post-traumatic growth, profoundly changed your life for the better? How did this change your life for the better?
Yeah, it's a great question. How can something so awful potentially be a good thing?
Yes. So,
reasonable.
Yeah?
I would say not so much the experience of living through PTSD, anxiety and flashbacks. You know, that period of experiencing symptoms was not the positive part. I will definitely agree with you there. That was not the good bit. The positive part for me was the transition out of that. The healing period as I came through on my healing pathway, mm-hmm. as I became well and realizing that for me, I couldn't be the person that I am now without having gone through the experiences that I had gone through. And that's essentially the principle of post-traumatic growth, that you are a better version of yourself having had the experience as negative as it was at the time.
I want to ask a question. I know we've been introduced to the mutual friend Laura McKinnon, and I'm truly grateful for this one, but you know, you coaching other people how to grow even despite PTSD and anxiety and other things. But can you tell me just statistically, how many people come forward, what sexes come more forward, female or male, to seek the help in that respect if they experience some of these negative impacts in their life?
Yeah,
PTSD, anxiety, stress on something like this to come to you?
I haven't collected data on it, so I would just be having a guess. I feel sometimes it feels as though I think what's the word I'm looking for? I think anecdotally we would assume that women are better at discussing their emotions and their feelings.
Ah, that's what I was waiting for you. Why women? Why not men?
Well,
are we men keeping this pride and ego in ourselves and say, like, you know, we don't need a help, we can solve these things, we are macho, we are strong? Or why the women, yeah?
I think that's definitely the public narrative. So, you know, the community story is that women are better at talking about these things than men. I'm not necessarily sure that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly come across a lot of women that are very reluctant to admit, accept a level of vulnerability and admit that they are not coping,
mm-hmm.
particularly women similar to my situation. So at the time that I really fell in the hole, as I talk about it, I was the breadwinner for my family. I was on a higher income than my husband at the time. And there was a lot of pressure around that. So I'm not entirely sure that it's a gendered issue just because we're wired differently.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with the expectations of the role that that person is playing, in particularly in their family life. So, you know, typically it's the man who goes out and earns the money. You know, let's go back all to the 1950s. He goes out and works and the woman stays home and...
So our brains have actually been wired since our childhood. But Lisa, before like I ask you the question, if we don't see a professional like yourself, what's the downfall if we don't address the issues as a PTSD, anxiety, or anything like this? You've seen this every day. What happened if I experience some traumatic event in my life and I don't see a professional like yourself to be retrained and coach? What do you see as an end result, negative result?
It stays with you. You know, there is this idea that time heals all wounds. I say that time and healing heals all wounds. Time itself, just hoping it'll go away or pushing it down or just trying not to think about it, I confidently tell you, doesn't work in terms of moving past. I have clients coming to me for a trauma that occurred, you know, 30 years ago. It will wait and it will still be there. And in my opinion, it's going to come to the surface whether you're ready for it or not. So if you don't invite, you know, if you don't create a space for the healing, if you don't make some time and either go and see someone or find your own pathway, whether it's, you know, diet or yoga or running or, you know, whatever, or a professional or, you know, some sort of mental health professional. If you don't do that and make the space for it to arise and for you to manage and deal with it and heal, then it will just come up and bite you on the butt in like 20 years' time. Like, it'll come up anyway, but you just won't be prepared and you won't have a team around you.
Well, very interesting. But who is Lisa? Now there's a question. We always ask in the beginning, but your biography, your resume, or your thing, the services you're providing and coaching is different than anything else we experience in the studio here. But who is Lisa Vesga? Because you have a very interesting past then.
It's an interesting question. We could go really metaphysical, Mario. Who are any of us?
That's going to be resulting in blocking this conversation. Darren, you have that red button somewhere?
No, I'll play nice. So, as you said in the introduction, I spent about 10 years as an ambulance paramedic. Experienced some also sexual assaults in my previous life, so prior to my ambulance career, and all of that really contributed to the state that I found myself in In about 2013 was when I finally realised that I had a problem. I was not well. And I tried to be a victim. I tried sitting on the couch. I tried not working for about 4 months. And
that's a short period there.
That's how long it took me to get sick of myself, Mario.
It took me 2 years, and I gained 30 kilos because I found satisfaction into Nutella. And honestly, I'm not lying to you. Like, you know, I experienced in my life something, I won't say traumatic, but it's, you know, type of betrayal, yeah, whatever it is. But it took me 2 years, Lisa, to be honest with you. And I didn't want to admit it. I mean, I was really enjoying stuffing my mouth with the Nutella. And drinking Coke and everything was fine. 2 months are going to be better. I've done nothing. And only 4 months for you. That you're stronger than me, absolutely.
Look, it's not a race. And there really is no room for comparison in trauma or trauma recovery. I hear a lot of people, it can go both ways. Either people say to me, you know, I haven't been a soldier. I don't deserve the diagnosis of PTSD. I didn't go to war. Haven't... It's just, you know, my dog got ran over in the street and I'm upset.
Okay.
Or I have people who justify the PTSD, you know. So, but either direction, there really is no room for comparison. There's just no reason for it. I think trauma, as in the event, how you respond to the event, and then whether you know, how you choose to move on past that response, mm-hmm, is so entirely individual that it's really got no bearing on whether it took me 4 months and took you 2 years, and you know, my trauma was worse than your trauma. It's just it's
for me personally, like everybody, I'm not professional, let me be clear, I'm not you, I don't know nothing about NLP, I don't know nothing about trauma, you know, I mean, I can't help nobody in that respect because I'm not educated, and I truly believe that we all reacting on stress and the traumas in different ways. Now, why would you go that path and help other people? What possesses you after traumatic experience and, you know, negative sides of lives, you go to help people? What was the drive in you to help others?
I'm a paramedic. Helping people is what I do. My mother tells me that when I was a child at primary school, if somebody fall off the monkey bars, it was Lisa that would go over and help them and call a teacher. So
it's good to be have you around there. Yeah,
that's right. I did it yesterday for someone. So this is just who I am. You know, I've always been community-minded. I've always been about giving back. You know, like you said about childhood experiences, you know, they definitely shape us.
Can you give me more about this one? I heard about this thing. We all have our life stories, but... why we always, I'm hearing this around quite often, childhood, that childhood actually, it's affected us who we are today.
So from a neurological point of view, and I'm not claiming to be a neurologist, but from a psychological type point of view, there is a recognition that we essentially form our values, our beliefs, structures, what we think is important, our opinion about the way the world works and how we fit within that world, mm-hmm, we essentially make all those unconscious decisions prior to about 7 or 8 years old. So by about 7 or 8, you've kind of figured out your place in the world, whether you're a good person or a bad person, whether the world is full of nice people or horrible people, you know, the value of money, whether, you know, ideas like success comes from hard work, you know, ideas like that, you get all that from your primary caregivers, so traditionally your parents. We look at our parents as children. We either adopt, we're very spongy at that age. We're like mental sponges, and we just suck up what's around us. So if you come from a poverty background, you will typically continue that poverty mentality through your life, unless you deliberately, you know, consciously make some changes around that. You will grow up believing that there's not enough to go around. If you grow up in an abundant household, you will typically take that mentality through with you into adulthood, that there's enough for everybody to go around and we can afford to share.
Oh, Lisa, well, thank you very much. We'll take a short break. We give it a breather, so you have a glass of water. To our listeners with us today in the studio, it's Lisa Westgate. Online, if you like to hear this conversation about trauma, traumatic experiences, PTSD, anxiety, stress, and how it can be helped to you and how to be coached and guided, please come on www.alive905.com.au, press the button stream now, and Darren and I will make it sure that you hear this episode very well. Now we take a short break. You're listening Alive 90.5 Businesses with Mario.
Alive 90.5.
I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you?
I'm in Toronto and I got this view, but I might as well be in a hotel room. Yeah, it doesn't matter cause I'm so consumed, spending all my nights reading texts from you. Oh, I'm good at keeping my distance. I know that you're the feeling I'm missing. You know that I hate to admit it, but everything means nothing if I can't have you.
I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you?
Sorry that my timing's off, but I can't move on if we're still gonna talk. Is it wrong for me to not want half? I want all of you, all the strings attached. Oh, I'm good at keeping my distance. I know that you're the feeling I'm missing. You know that I hate to admit it, but everything means nothing if I can't have you. But I'll hold on. Everything means nothing. Everything means nothing, babe. I'm trying to move on. Forget you, but I'll hold on.
Everything means nothing if I can't have you. No, I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you?
In the market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit realpropertybuyers.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
Hi, Alan Barnes from Dural Pool Shop. With the swim season nearly here, I'd like to stress the importance of proper maintenance and care to maximise your enjoyment. Our expert pool technicians can help you make sure of the right pool quality, cleaning methods and equipment, filter maintenance, cost-effective pool chemicals and more. See full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 270 New Line Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just how you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, a station sponsor.
The day you stop smoking, your body starts to repair itself. In 8 hours, excess carbon monoxide is out of your bloodstream. In 5 days, most nicotine has left your body. In 3 months, your lung function begins to improve. In a year, your risk of a heart attack is halved and your risk of lung cancer is falling too. Every cigarette you don't smoke is doing you good. Stop smoking today. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra, spoken by B-Ream.
You're listening to the sound of Alive
90.5. It's 26 minutes past one, 18 degrees. Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario. And before you jump in, Mario, I just want to take...
I just take a breath.
...a chance...
Oh, yes, please.
...to summarise a great... sentence that we heard from Lisa in the last segment. Time and healing heal all wounds.
Time
wonderful.
And, time and?
Time and healing heals all wounds. Now, normally you say time heals all wounds, but Lisa said to us time and healing.
So was it healing?
That process itself.
So was it healing?
Let's ask her again.
Well, can you ask that question?
Kate. I mean, Lisa, sorry. We had Kate before. I apologise. But that's right. That's what you said. Time and healing heals all wounds.
Yeah.
So can you just elaborate for us what do you mean by the time we understand, but healing? What does the healing mean? It's a healing, you know, taking some medicine, or it's eating much more Nutella like myself, going to the gym to be smashed in the face, or something, boxing. Or what's the healing process, Lisa?
All of the above.
Okay. See, I was on a good road, Darren. I told you this 30 kilos was a good, good time heals.
I think we're going to pause on the Nutella, but go ahead.
My friend, the nutrition specialist, would probably not recommend eating Nutella for 2 years.
Well, unfortunately, that was my reality. But yes, I agree with you. Absolutely, Lisa, on that one, yes.
That's right. Look, the reality is that, you know, we all make choices, and you've got to live with the results of that. So, you know, at some point on some level, you made that decision and you said you had 30 kilos with consequences. So,
oh, absolutely. You know, I'm dealing, even today, last 2 years, I'm dealing with those 30 kilos and, you know, I'm shedding them down. But, you know what I mean? I know that I was, look, no question asked. I knew something was happening inside of me, but I couldn't admit myself that I have maybe depression or something like this. I didn't seek the help. Let me be clear about this one, because I'm the man, you know what I mean? I can do these things. But, you know, I was happily digging into the jars of Nutella, you know what I mean? And, you know, eventually I ended up into the Big Joe store, you know what I mean, where the 5XL is the smallest number. And then I realized that that's not happiness of my life, you know what I mean? I took a help a different way. So, but you're the professional, you're the expert, and our listeners are very keen to know what's the healing process and how the healing works. And I mean, like, you know, apart talking to you, what do you do as a part of healing process?
Yeah. So, look, it's probably not great marketing, but I honestly believe that everybody has to find that healing pathway for themselves. I don't claim to be a one size fits all. For some people, they need to take medication. That's the right thing for them at that time. For some people, not taking medication is the right thing for them. So I'm very reluctant to prescribe and say, well, this is the pathway. You know, you do step A, step B, step C. I feel like it's far more of a pieces of the puzzle. So if you think of the completed puzzle when you're finished, it's going to be a better version of you. But you have to go and search for those pieces of the puzzle. So for some people, it's seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist. For some people, it is medication, and that's the piece of the puzzle that they need right now. For some people, they go on a Bali retreat for 3 months. And, you know, that's something that really...
That's a good one, yeah. I mean, that's a good one. But we can't afford this one. Look, the stress, it's a one thing, anxiety and everything else, but PTSD and the, these traumatic experiences, and that's certainly how you help the people. So, you know, just, you know, for the purpose of this conversation, this interview, if I come to you and I say, like, look, Lisa, you know me for, you know, I mean, all my life, and you know what's happened to me, and I know what to do, like, you know, just diving into Nutella, how would you help me? Apart from bashing me, maybe punch me in the face or call the Darren, you know, to turn off the, all the mics or whatever it is, because, but how would you help me? How would you say to me, what was the first question you will ask me, you know, I mean, or what would you say to me? Listen, you fat pig, Marian, I mean, look at yourself, you know, you can't fit your clothes. Well, that's as I told myself, you know, in the mirror, to be honest with you, I said to my, I told myself, look at you, what you're looking on, Marian, I mean, you're looking like nothing alike you before. You know, too easy.
Yeah.
So please, if you can just, if I come to you and ask you that question, you know, I mean, and you know what's happened, I have some traumatic experience, how would you help me?
The first thing I would say is to let you know that whatever you've done up until now is valid.
Wow.
So I think people really beat themselves up for the way that they have responded. Before they see me. And the truth of the matter is that everybody is doing the best they can with the resources that they have. And so if I said, if I, you came to me and I said, listen, if the best way that you knew how to manage how you were feeling was with Nutella, then good for you.
Why would you say that? You know, I mean, because I'm so trapped, Lisa, because I've been judged, and I've been judged by the people close to me. You know, look at yourself and anything else. You say opposite. Why would you say, it's okay you've done this?
Because it's got you here. It's got you into a point where you've called me on the phone and you're asking for help. Mm. So whatever you've done until now has got you to this point now where you've got the strength to reach out, which is everything.
That is one of the most valid points. What do you think, Darren, about this one?
Well, I was just going back to the idea of the pieces of the puzzle and then hearing about the point of taking the step to ask for help. So normally a puzzle, you find one of the hardest pieces or actually it maybe is different, because it's very hard when you've got all the pieces not there to find the right one that just makes that connection to the next one. And so asking for help is that piece of the puzzle that allows you then, say, to do the corner, to get the straight lines, and then start filling your puzzle in to make it much better for you.
That's interesting.
It's very hard to do a puzzle when you don't know what the end picture is going to be.
Oh, true. See, yes, that's a good one. Yes, that's a good one. Well, Lisa, please continue, Lisa.
You just sound bad. So, look, I think that's part of the problem, is that people kind of recognize, well, I think I'm meant to eat better, and I think maybe I'm meant to do yoga, and I think maybe I'm meant to drink more water. But if you don't have a clear vision of what it is you're creating, it can be a bit haphazard, it can be a bit stop-start, and it can be a bit hard to keep the motivation and the momentum to make change when you really don't really, you know, you can't see where you're going. And I think that is the value of calling someone like me or speaking to a counsellor or a psychologist, is hopefully, and certainly what I do, is we focus on the end point. We start creating the picture. I would say, Mario, you've told me you've got some trauma in your past. You're not happy with where you are now. So my first question is, what do you want your life to look like? And let's start creating the picture on the puzzle box so that at least we know where we're headed.
But that's,
and then we work back from that.
That will require entire new wiring on my brain. Is that possible to do? Because, let's just say, for past 2 years, I will feel sorry, pity for myself, and the Cry Me a River song will be every 5 minutes. Yeah, but it's true, you know what I mean? And where's my jar on the tail?
Don't sing.
No, that's... you don't want me singing, you know what I mean?
I do.
Cry Me a River. Can you say Cry Me a River?
You're going to say it, but carry on.
You also made me to embarrass myself. No, but, you know what I mean? Like, that's requiring new wiring, you know what I mean? So, the bottom line is... I say, like, I can't be taken as an example. Like, you know, I mean, I've been differently brought up in this society where the man must be the man, even even under duress. You know, when you're breaking, you need to be the man, protect your family, you need to bring the bread and everything else. It's your job, it's your task, you know what I mean? And, you know what I mean? But I was in silence. I was suffering, you know, I mean, I was suffering because I didn't know what's going to happen next day, you know what I mean? Till one day, I literally didn't experience something which I would never experience. It's called, what's it called, this, Darren, panic attack, right? It was a panic attack. I was thinking of a heart attack, man. Seriously. Yeah, they took me to hospital. I was like, you know, I was thinking of, I'm dying. And the guy says, panic attack. And it's like, what does that mean? I can't breathe. I couldn't walk. And doctor says to me, I think you need some help. And so I'm like, really? Liposuction? Maybe breast augmentation? And he says to me, no, I need to talk to somebody. I was like, God, I didn't want it to be that situation.
Yeah, so, and please. How did that feel? When the doctor says that, you feel like a failure, don't you? You feel like I've stuffed up. The doctor says, you've got to go talk to somebody.
I talk in very, very rude words, which I apologize the following day. It was not her fault, she told me. truly, you know what I mean? And, and then... I went to my good friend, he's a doctor, and he told me, listen, I know the lady who knows the person, and that person is going to see you next week. And I was like, okay. So I started some sort of like a healing process, which, you know, like, it's not for the radio, but it's not that I'm hanging from the hooks from the ceiling, but it's more, what's the word, alternative approach. And, but most basically on conversation. But I said, like, you know, I didn't want to accept this, and I'll never accept defeat. I'll never accept, because, you know, we always talk in the radio. We always know how to be generous, you know what I mean, after the battle when it's everything pink and rose in life. But, you know, life, it doesn't consist always of just the beautiful moments. It consists and from bad moments. And that's the reason why the people post pictures, as we say, on Instagram or Facebook. There are the pictures with the smiles and happiness and joy, but there's a lie between. But, you know, like, if I called you, you will ask me that question, but how would you rewire my brain, my beliefs? Is that possible?
Yeah, it's absolutely possible. This is, and that's really the key, isn't it? It's a complete mindset shift. So number one, the most important thing is you as the client, that a person I'm working with has to be prepared to let go of the old thinking. So if we look at the old thinking patterns, have got you to a point where you're unhappy, overweight, potentially people call me and say, Lisa, my wife's taking the kids to her mum's house. I think maybe I have a problem. You know, and I think, yeah, you should.
That sounds like a movie. Seriously,
that's your problem.
Yeah.
You know, marriages end, relationships break up, people lose jobs. You have to be ready on some level to be comfortable to let go of the thinking that created all of that you're not happy with.
So when
be ready to have new thinking that's going to create the life that you are happy with. Because if you're going to hold on to the thinking that kept you, you know, it's going to keep you where you don't want to be.
I'm really feeling, you know what I mean, that this conversation with you is going to change the many people's thinking and the lives, because, you know, I'm saying from my experience, and I was embarrassed. You know, I was embarrassed because, you know, like you were right, you know, I mean, that the childhood brings the things, you know, define us, you know, for the future. But, you know, my problem was the embarrassment. Yeah, I didn't want to admit nobody, not even my closest family and everybody else, you know what I mean? But the thing it is, you know, suffering is not good, and seeking help from a professional like yourself, it should not be the problem, you know what I mean? That should not be the stigmata, you know what I mean? And people need to have somebody close to themselves like you to help it. But Darren, you're dying from the burning desire to ask the question.
No, I'm just intently listening to these wonderful
thoughts. Well, I need to take the break. Lisa, did you say to me, might I take a break? You're listening Business Insights with Mario Live 90.5. We'll take a Lisa Westgate short break, and we'll come back after some music and with more insights. And everybody who is struggling with PTSD, traumatic experiences and anxiety, please Google Lisa Westgate.
Alive 90.5.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sometimes she's here, can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Huh? Because
Cherrybrook Real Estate. Sam Ramone is a specialist in property management in residential in the Hills District. He prides himself on taking the stress out of property management and looking after your investment at a competitive rate. If you need property management, please call Sam Ramone from Cherrybrook Real Estate on 9980 9860. Station sponsor.
Hi, Alan Barnes here from Dural Pool Shop. I opened our shop intending to always listen, really listen, to our customers so we could fully understand and meet their pool needs. Along with that, we stocked the top brands of pool chemicals, cleaners, pumps, filters, heaters, fittings, spare parts, you name it. You'll find full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 2, 270 Newline Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just the way you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, station sponsor.
Alive 90.5. Broadcasting to the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland.
17 minutes to 2 and 18 degrees. Business Insights with Mario on Alive 90.5.
Darren, thank you very much. With us in studio, I mean online, it's Lisa Westgate from Melbourne, and she's specializing in dealing with the people with the PTSD, traumatic experiences, anxiety and stress, which we all going through this quite often in our life. And Lisa, COVID-19, can you tell us more? How did you deal, you personally, with the COVID-19 situation, particularly in Melbourne, where for some reason you have the much more harsher, the restriction levels than us in New South Wales? And what did you saw changes in people and how they dealt with, or how you helped them to go through this during the COVID-19?
It's certainly a challenging time, isn't it? It's right on the back of the bushfires we also had down, South Coast of New South Wales also had those terrible bushfires the start of this year and late last year. It just feels like we haven't been able to come up for air in between these huge events.
Yes.
Look, I think there's a lot of fear. We typically, humans, fear the unknown. And a virus is like the ultimate unknown. Bushfires you're afraid of, but if you can't smell the smoke and it's not at the back of your house, you feel still quite safe.
But would you agree, Lisa, that was COVID-19? Traumatic experience. I mean, let's go talking not as a virus, but a lockdown. Did you? Can you say? Okay, I'll say this from my experience. Being in lockdown, it's okay for some certain time, but when you being restricted for the longer period of time, actually causing more stress on the human body, you're on duress and no human touch. So you know what I mean? As you said, two events: the bushfire, the COVID. Would you agree with me that lockdown actually causing this distress on the humans?
Yeah, I think isolation typically is not good for people. You know, human beings are designed, we're tribal creatures. We're designed to live in villages. We're designed to interact and communicate. Connection is one of our basic human core needs. We know that even in a prison population, the worst punishment you can get is what do they call it? They put you in prison.
Solitary confinement, you're thinking?
That's what I want.
Yeah. Oh, that's Thank a good you. One.
Solitary for the win. So even in the extremes of our society, we know that isolating people by themselves is punishment. So I think it's only natural that a lot of people have found this incredibly challenging, even the introverts in the community.
You know why I'm asking this question, Lisa? I'm sorry to interrupt you again, because, you know, you're the expert on that. You're the expert on that matter now. And we are lucky we have you online, because I know how busy you are and how many people are, you know, waiting for your assistance and your help. But, you know, I can't rid of the impression, like, you know, I'm in Sydney, living in one area, which is called the Hills area, and I'm traveling in Bondi, which is like, you know, quite mundane, you know, I mean, rich people live there. But that's where it's my coach and my boxing club. And on a road, Pacific Highway and everything else, I'm seeing every signage it talks about mental issues, domestic violence. I said, like, Jesus, I never saw so many signages about mental issues. Like, did I miss something last 3 months? So, you know, that's the reason I'm asking. So I apologize for interrupting. So we talk about, what did you say, that in solitary confinement, we are tribal people, yeah.
Yeah, look, I think it's good that at least the conversations are being had. You know, the conversations alone don't necessarily solve the issue, but at least we're talking about it. At least we're recognising that isolation is a problem. You know, isolation is kind of, at worst, for most people, it's a nuisance for the majority of people. Now, for people stuck in a domestic violence relationship, for children living in a home with child abuse, isolation is a next level of terrifying. I mean, that's a completely different experience to, you know, oh, I've got to work out how to, you know, run my business while my kid's at home. Yeah. We're having two different experiences of this period of time. So I think it's good that we're at least having the conversations around mental health in the public space. And that's all part of breaking down that stigma. I have a relationship to a charity called Timber, which is called This is My Brave Australia. And it's a mental health charity based in Canberra, and it's fundamentally about breaking down stigma through story. So storytelling, saving lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're such advocates of people getting out there and telling their stories and sharing, whether it's in the virtual space or on radio or just in conversation, you know, at school pickup.
I was lucky enough, yeah. See, now I want to ask you something which is doesn't relate to you helping people. Now, my question is, are you listening very carefully? I was lucky enough during COVID, a part of running my business and everything else, you know, I could see the humans, but mostly it was Darren with me in studio. So, you know, it was a human presence, you know, I mean, even as a short one, but it was a human presence. Now, if you help all these people, not if, when you help all these people, who helps the Lisa Westgate to stay sane? And how do you stay sane? Well, thank you very much. That was an awesome answer. I don't know. Please, Lisa, sorry.
It's all right. It is. It's an important matter. And I actually have worked previously with other therapists to coach them and debrief with them. I think it's valuable for every helper to have a helper, every healer to have a healer, every coach should have a coach. It's important to get your team on board and not work. I learn all my lessons the hard way, Mario. All right.
Can you share with us? Can you share with us what do you mean by hard lessons? You learn the hard your lessons. What do you mean by that term?
I usually learn that I should stop hitting my head against the wall when I stop, and it feels much better. I tend to be the type of person that has to go through something to realise that probably wasn't the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So when I first started in trauma in this area, I didn't have very good boundaries, and I would be quite drained at the end of the day from listening to everybody's stories, and, you know, obviously they're sharing with me their experiences, and I would take a lot of it on board and get quite drained. I realized that's not a sustainable model, and that's actually what contributed to my PTSD in the first place, was not having a barrier when I was around other people's grief and loss, and I would take it on as my own. Okay. So I now have very good self-care practices, very good management techniques. I'm super clear about what is mine and what is my client's.
Yes.
And there is like a invisible wall, and I am there on their side of the wall to help them with their issues, but it's not my stuff, yeah?
This is a question out of the blue, but, you know, I mean, I want to ask a question. Is it good to have the imagination, to use imagination in your life? As you said, like, you know, protective wall against, external threats, or, you know, use imagination, you know, me to be happier or to deal with the current issues, not yours. I mean, I'm talking general, let's just say me. And I said to Lisa, I have an imaginary friend called Freddy, and he's with me every night in garage, which is true when I have the coffee and smoke. But, you know, I mean, jokes aside, but, you know, I mean, sometimes I make fun of myself, I have imaginary friend Freddy, but, you know, is it, how much important it is to have the happy imagination to help you to go through the same difficulties? if yeah, is there such a thing?
Yeah, I think imagination. Yeah, imagination or creativity or an outlet. I'm pretty liberal. You know, if it doesn't hurt you and it doesn't hurt anybody else, then go for it. You know, that's kind of my attitude to most things. You know, as long as Freddie's not telling you to go out and, you know, cause harm.
Hey, you know, you should see the Dara now. Dara, he's just, he pulled the chair to against the wall to further. No, just a joke inside, but like, you know, Freddie doesn't say to me, kill nobody. Yes, Dara.
I was just thinking, I know Freddie well.
Okay, we should say Freddie, yes, that's it.
We've all got our own little Freddie. We've all got our own little voices in our heads that tell us things. You know, usually it's telling us that, you know, we're not nice things. you know, we all have those internal dialogue conversations. There's nothing wrong with...
So there's nothing wrong to have the internal dialogues, no?
No. It's part of the way that we process. Oh, yeah, that okay. We process events or emotions is just have a little chat to yourself. And and then, you know, when your husband walks in, you say, no, I was talking to the dog. Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you know what? You know, as I mentioned, you know, during our conversation, our interview, like, you know, you're the most famous radio station, Live 90.5. And, you know, the question I do have for you, you know, Lisa, when somebody comes to you, you know, I mean, do they expect the miracles or you explain to them? Because, you know, you are not just an expert in your field, but you're the somebody, person with the difficulties can relate because you've been in that boat. Do the people expecting miracles or are you going to tell them, let's say, Mari, you and Freddie needs like 6 months, you know, I mean, of the NLP training or whatever it's calling, you know, I mean, like whatever your sessions including and training and coaching, or do you say like there's no miracles or you can say there are the miracles in your work?
It depends what they want. I think most mm-hmm. people probably come to me skeptical of a full recovery.
Yeah.
So more often people would say, well, you know, I just want to learn how to manage my anxiety better. And I say, okay, well, we've got two options. I can teach you how to manage your anxiety better, or we can get rid of the anxiety. Which one do you want to do? And they don't know that was an option.
Darren, he's still, Darren, now we're nodding heads with this one. I read something very interesting maybe a few months ago for, you know, before, just preparation for the one of the shows that Darren and I do. And I read in Australia the most effective heart attacks happen. Well, I'm saying most effective, it's called the Galore. It's on Monday morning between 7 and 9 a.m. And they say the reason for that it is because anxiety starts triggering. Apologies for my English. Anxiety starts triggering Sunday afternoon after the footy show when the person realized I need to go in the morning to the work, and that anxiety actually builds during the night, and then in the morning people have heart attacks.
We would very, very commonly go to a 7 a.m. heart attack the ambulance.
Darren and I agree on this one. I was flabbergasted with that fact, you know, because like how the anxiety can be built, you know, I mean, it's not your feeling, but when I had a panic attack and I was thinking I'm going to die because I couldn't believe I'm the man of 120 kilos, you know, I can't lift my leg. And I was like, this is not normal. And I mean, this is not like dying. But then the anxiety, then panic attack, Darren, did you have experience like this? No? Yeah, you did. Well, you know, Darren,
no time for today, though.
No, for today.
My story's another day.
Yeah, for another day. Well, we're going to... Well, Lisa, before we conclude our interview with you, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for being our guest today, Lisa. And for all our listeners online, 90.5, interview with Lisa Westgate. It's going to be available later on today on our website, live 905fm.com.au. Alive905.com.au. It's a signage behind your back, Darren. And I was struggling. So, Lisa, before we conclude the interview, please tell us how the clients can reach you, our listeners, or anybody who's interested in the services you're providing.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me. The best place to find me is lisawestgate.com.
Yes. Can you spell this on English or is it doing to spell Westgate?
Yeah.
Westgate, like the big bridge we have down here in Melbourne.
Okay, so lisawestgate.com. Lisa, thank you very much for being the guest on Live 90.5, the most sexiest, most productive, most beautiful radio station on the planet, on our business in St. Mario, Lisa. And, you know, we make you laugh. Hey, we're wishing you an awesome weekend to you and your family, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Alive 90.5.